Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The words today that are to and about Jesus as he goes to Calvary come from the crowd. Now, this is the last of the words that we will hear from those calling for Jesus' death. The crowd's words that they're saying about Jesus as they call for him to go to the cross are shocking. And they're terrifying. Let his blood be on us and our children. That was the cry of the crowd today when Pilate washed his hands and declared to them, "It is your responsibility." So they knew. They were warned by Pilate himself of what they were saying. And they had no second thoughts. They had no remorse about sending Jesus to death on a Roman cross. They were literally crying out to be guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. They knew what calling for blood meant when they said these words. I want to read to you from the Old Testament some things that they would have known and had in mind as they said this. They knew Leviticus 17:11 that said, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." And then 17:14 says, "Because the life of every creature is its blood." Now, they also knew the warnings that were given in Ezekiel 3 when God was charging Ezekiel with his duties as a prophet. He said to him, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, 'You shall surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood." And the most damning of all comes later in Ezekiel, chapter 33. When the Lord is charging the nation of Israel with being obedient to the Lord, the Lord said, "Son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, 'When I bring the sword against the land and the people of the land choose one of their men and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, that man will be taken away because of his sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood." The idea of being accountable for the blood, for the life of another person, was well understood. And there was no uncertainty in what the crowd, stirred up by the Jewish leaders, was calling for. They were telling Pilate, "We will be responsible. We will be accountable. Put on us the guilt for the life, for the blood of Jesus." They were calling down God's own warning on themselves with gusto and enthusiasm. Now, there's no doubt that Pilate shares the guilt of Christ's death for allowing the crowd and others to persuade him to unjustness and to go against his own conscience. But the crowd, they also bear the guilt of God's warning. They have asked for that to be put on them, and their children by calling for Jesus' blood, by calling for his life. And tonight, as we've said on previous occasions, what we hear from those to and about Jesus as he goes to the cross, we hear the same sort of thing today around us in our own day as well. We hear of people who just simply don't care about any warning from God. They thumb their nose even at the idea of God and have no use for him. They're just as happy to ignore him and go on their way, fully aware, many of them, that they're flipping off the God of the universe. That's not a lot different from what we hear the crowd shouting for Jesus' death, is it? What we hear around us in our day and age is what the crowd says in today's gospel lesson. And here's the thing about that crowd that we need to recognize. They are speaking for us. They are speaking for all of us. They are speaking for the world. We have all called down the warning of God on us. We've done that with our sinfulness and with our rebellion. We are the crowd that calls for the death of Christ because we don't want a king. We don't want a king like that. We don't want God to be our ruler. We want to put ourselves in God's place. And so the crowd speaks for the whole world when they say, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." And now there's a point I don't want you to miss. I want you to take this home with you. That is exactly what God does. It is exactly what God does. God does pour out the lifeblood of Jesus on us and on the world. Jesus' blood is poured out, just as the crowd had asked, but not in the same way as they had asked. Not with the warning in it. Indeed, God in Jesus Christ, he took the curse that we called down on ourselves in asking for the blood of Jesus. He took on the punishment on the cross that he knew we could not bear. And so he took the guilt on himself in spite of the words of the crowd. In spite of our selfish desire to thumb our nose at God and say, "Go ahead and curse us, we don't care." Jesus took that very punishment in our place. God did care. He cared so much that he sent his only son to take away the very curse we called down on ourselves. Jesus took on our responsibility for his own blood. We believe, teach, and confess from John 10 and Romans 5 and Hebrews 9 and Revelation 1 that Jesus Christ laid down his life of his own accord in the place of those who were guilty of that very blood, which is us. So the curses and the warnings and the accountabilities that we read from the Old Testament that are associated with the lifeblood, all of that is put on Christ in our place, in the place of those who asked for his blood. Remember the passage from Leviticus that said, "It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." And as we said, that is what he gives the crowd. That is what he gives us. That is what he gives for the life of the world. He gives us his blood, not for curse, but for blessing. He pours out his very blood on us that gives us righteousness, his righteousness, in the place of the guilt that we, in the words of the crowd, called down on ourselves. Indeed, we are given his lifeblood to be our very life. We have life only in his blood. When we take communion, Remember that the life of Christ is what is poured into you through the wine, the blood that we drink. In this holy meal, we proclaim that the death of the Lord, called for today by the crowd, that is the death that grants to us hope, grants to us salvation. That salvation and redemption is through the blood of Christ poured out on us for the forgiveness of our sins. In His holy name and in His blood we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.